Is there one here this morning who has ever wondered what they should do? Have you ever been in that predicament when you have said, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And the range for the response to questions run the full gamut. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to date that girl or that girl? Should I walk past that boy or should I walk past the other boy? What should I do? Should I do this or should I do that? My mind is just drawing a blank now as to questions that you might be thinking, but why don't you tell me from the congregation questions that you have about making decisions? Anyone? What are some universal questions that...
What's for supper?
Another. Which school to attend?
Who to vote for?
Who to vote for?
What do I wear?
I got to talk to this guy. What do I wear? Other questions?
Where's
the money going to come from?
When are you going to spend the last $5?
What will you spend the last $5?
Are you going to have enough money to pay the bills?
Are you going to have enough money to pay the bills? Other questions? Where shall we live?
Where did I go wrong?
Where did I go wrong? All right.
How do I answer my son?
Go ahead. Don't be timid. Say it. Hey, one at a time.
Give me strength to pray for all the people that go through this little brain of mine.
Okay. Up here.
Another day.
Another day. More questions.
Why can't I believe?
Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Other questions that flood your mind now.
What does real faith feel like?
What does real faith feel like? Other questions?
Do you go to church?
Beg your pardon?
Do you go to church?
Do you go to church? Right. When is the Lord going to come?
Why can't I really say what I want to that person?
Why can't I really say what I want to that person? Questions.
Where shall I spend Christmas?
Questions, questions, questions. We are bombarded with questions all the time. And a lot of times when we have the questions, we preface the question with a four-letter word, Lord. Lord, where do I spend Christmas? Lord, who do I vote for? Lord, what does real faith feel like? Lord, what am I going to do? And it'd be safe to say that every question that you heard uttered a few moments ago could be properly prefaced with that one word, Lord. And the reason I say that is because the Lord, Jesus the Christ, wants to be personally involved in every decision that you make. From those that we heard that were on the funny side to those that we heard that were on the very serious side. Because God can't divorce himself from what is serious and what is non-serious. God wants to be part of our total life. And when we have decisions, he wants to be consulted. But instead, we turn to our spouse, or we turn on the radio, or we push a button on our television set, or we read a book, or we write some column editor, or we seek from somebody else. And while we oftentimes receive good and even wise suggestions to our questions, sometimes we are completely strayed. And God must sit in heaven and say, why don't they Let me guide them in what they want to do. I can tell that person so easily what they should do in buying the house and taking the vacation and the financial difficulty. I can so easily tell that person what to do in that business enterprise. I can tell them what to do in a decision they have to make about a girl or a boy. The list is endless. As many questions as you can think of, God says, I've got an equal number of answers. Here are the questions, and here are the answers. And between question and answer, I have placed my dear son, Jesus, who reaches into the questions, who reaches into the answers, and tries to pull together, which he did as a mediator on the cross. God, what am I going to do? And in the next 24 hours, I would venture to say that many of you will have questions, from simple to complex. God wants to be consulted. I want to share with you four verses of Scripture. The first is John's writing, chapter 8, verse 31. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Lord, I want to know what to do about this situation, and I feel I'm all bound and boxed up. I want to be free from this question that haunts me. And so Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. TEV reads, don't be a fool. Know what God wants you to do. Know what God wants you to do. You've got a question. You've got to make a decision. Let God answer you. Paul also speaks the third of the four verses in Colossians 1:9, when he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. This is why prayer requests are important. Why people call the discouraged line, why people call the office, why people talk to some of our board members or other church members with questions. They want to know what they should do. So Paul says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and in spiritual understanding. Some questions need a lot of spiritual understanding. And David writes in Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. And could you just say that this is your verse? I will instruct you, say your name right now, Neil Carlson, and teach you in the way you should go. And I will guide Neil Carlson, with my eyes. Now this is God's promise to you. It's the best Christmas present this shepherd could give to you. It's the scripture that comes from Psalm 32, 8 and 9. The Lord rejoices and is made glad himself when people come to him with life spent with him, and when they acknowledge God's instructions to them. And this is your promise. That is, if you want the promise. I will instruct you, I will teach you, I will go with you, and I will guide you. I will guide you with my eyes. The eye of God, like a searchlight on the front of an automobile traveling down the depth of nighttime. Or like that powerful light on the front of a locomotive that searches out the way down the track for several miles in the thick of night. God's eye is going to guide you if two things occur. If you look to him for the guidance and not be sidetracked by the little lights that you might see around. And secondly, if you will make sure you're on the right track. It's important, and never forget, God does not work the same way with everyone. And so when I suggest to you this morning eight things in two different categories of how God is guiding people today in King City, don't say, well, it's not true because it never worked that way with me. Bear in mind that God takes you as a special person and he says, this is my child. I will deal with my child the way I want to deal with my child. I will deal with this child the way I want to deal with this child. But we need to be taught the necessity of having proper principles as a guide. I think I once told you of the statue in Pennsylvania. I believe it's about 120 feet tall. That includes this pedestal and the column. But on top of the column, there is a statue of William Penn. And every year, at a certain time of the year, people will find dead birds at the base of this statue. And upon examining the birds, they'll discover that the birds are young birds. They're little babies. And it's been suggested and expounded forth that the other older birds who have made the migration year after year, who are aware of the impending danger of this statue, go around the statue. Whereas the young birds who've never made the journey before meet disaster. God says today, we are going upon a path that we've not tread before. And if we're not careful, we're going to find ourselves in disaster. So God says there are two ways that I communicate with people today in King City. There are two ways that I communicate. I communicate in the ordinary ways. I communicate in the extraordinary ways. And I believe that God is more concerned to give every one of you the answers to the questions, the hypothetical questions that we heard this morning, than we are to receive the answers to our questions. He speaks to us in common ways and in uncommon ways. Let me first of all give you the uncommon ways, the extraordinary ways that God speaks, and there are four ways if you're taking notes. The first is by angels. The scripture says, Exodus 23:20. Behold, I, God, will send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Now, you may or may not believe in angels, but you always know how I believe and what I feel about every subject. I believe in angels. I believe that now this room contains innumerable angels. Angels are sent by God. They are ministering spirits, and there's much to say about angels, and there have been sermons on angels. If you want to call the church office and check out a tape or two. I believe in the ministry of angels. I believe that when you have a question, God can, in the extraordinary fashion, send an angel at his bidding to you. And the scripture says, I will do it. It says it right here, so that you will be kept in the way. So when you want to do this, and it's not what God wants you to do, and you have decided to go that way, and it's wrong, God can send an angel. The second extraordinary way which God speaks is through dreams. In dreams, there is a place for divine guidance, according to the Bible. Numbers 12:6. I, God says, will make myself known to you in a dream. Now, there are dreams and there are dreams, and then there are dreams and dreams. I dream every night, and many of you dream. But this is not the kind of a dream I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual dream. When you know that when you were asleep, God spoke to you in a dream. And now the scripture says, I'll make myself known to him in a dream. Now, not all dreams are from God, but spiritual dreams, prophetic dreams, are from God. Now, God is speaking to people today in dreams. A couple of years ago, he spoke innumerable spiritual dreams to me that had to do with a lot of you people. They've been recorded, and in time we're seeing that God is answering prayers, and in my dream I have seen God work. And some I shared with people under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to people today in dreams. It's not wrong to ask God to speak to you in a dream. And if God chooses to do so, he will. If he doesn't, he won't. A lady in our church 22 days ago received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She's been a Christian for some time, but she asked for God to fill her. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that night God spoke to her in a spiritual dream. The next night she had the same dream. The third night, the same dream. The fourth night, the same dream, the same time. And I encourage her to keep a journal of what is happening because it deals with our church. And soon the dream started changing. There was a progression in the dream. And if I've lost count, but I think it's at least 20 nights in a row that God sovereignly has decided to speak to this person in a dream. So two of the extraordinary ways in making your decisions comes from angels, dreams. The third is signs. Isaiah 7:11, therefore the Lord himself shall give us a sign. When we talk about signs, we're talking about fleeces, among other things, where you lay out a fleece. God, I want you to tell me what I should do. Should I do this or should I do that? So Lord, I'm laying out a fleece. I'm going to put out this fleece. And tomorrow morning when I wake up, if this fleece is wet and the ground around it is dry, I'm going to accept this as you're communicating with me. And it happened. Well, old doubting person like you and me, Lord, that's too much. I just can't really believe that was from you. It could have been from some other source. So, what I want you to do now, Lord, is to reverse that. Tomorrow morning, I want the fleece to be dry and I want the ground to be wet. And that happens the next day. Oh, Pastor, you don't believe that. That's in the book. That's in the book. Yes, it's in the book. And what I want you to do is to get the experiences out of the book. I want you to get God out of the book, as we said last Sunday, and put him into your everyday life, in particular when you want guidance. Lay out a fleece. But be careful that when you lay the fleece out, what it is that you have predetermined to be the fleece. It would be contrary to natural occurrences. Contrary to what would be a natural concurrence, which would require supernatural intervention. God speaks in visions as well. That's the fourth one. He speaks in visions, and there are people in this church who have been spoken to in visions, and in visions people have gotten direction to where they should go. In visions God has spoken what they should do. One person had a decision to make whether they should go to this person or to another person, and God gave them a vision, and it was so personal to them I can't share it with you publicly here, but they knew it was a vision because only God knew what they knew that the other person knew, and God worked it out. So these four ways are supernatural ways that God answers the questions like you asked from the congregation, and they are visions, they are dreams. God speaks to us in very special ways also by signs and by angels. These are the extraordinary ways. Well, you say, Pastor, that's really good, but I'm not an extraordinary person and God hasn't spoken to me in extraordinary ways. Well, maybe he hasn't. But this doesn't mean he can't, because if you say that God cannot do that, then you become bigger than God and you tie up God's hands if you admit that God can't do it. But if you say, God, I believe you can do it, then you are a candidate for God talking to you in extraordinary ways. Now, God doesn't talk to me very often in extraordinary ways. But God talks to me always and often in all ways, in the ordinary ways, just the very ordinary ways. And when I have a decision to make, and the decisions are often and they're numerous, I put it through the four-way test. And if it lines up in the four-way test, as I'll share with you, then I know God is leading me in that direction. There must be other ways, more than four. like there are at least seven rocks down by Morro Bay. And I'm told that years ago, pilots used to use these great rocks as a guiding point for their trips. And you've probably seen the big Morro Bay rock, and there's a smaller rock if you look inward. But from the air, you can see that there are seven of these large rocks, and they're right in a row. And pilots have used them for a long time. Well, God has placed several of these great rocks in our direction so that when we want to be led to answering questions and want divine guidance, then in the common way, there are four. And the first is simply this book. This book. If you are a Christian, you want to have your own guidebook. If you are a Christian, you ought to read this guidebook every day because it is, as I said, a guidebook. Herbert Huber said, "There is no other book so various as the Bible, nor so full of wisdom, whether it be of law, business, morals, or that vision which leads the imagination in the creation of constructive enterprises. He who seeks for guidance," Herbert Huber said, "may look inside its cover and find illumination." You have a question? You want guidance? See if the answer is not here in the book first. You don't need an angel or a sign or a vision or a dream if it says right here what you should do. And half the questions that I heard a moment ago, the answers are right here in the book. Common, ordinary ways God speaks to people today, first of all, the Bible. Secondly, a voice. Isaiah 30:21 reads very simply, "And your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." You have a decision to make? Well, you want a question that you are asking? You want an answer for the question? You want to know which way you're supposed to go in an enterprise or an adventure or something that deals with your personal life? Right here, your ear shall hear a word. God speaks today. He's communicating today through the Spirit, that little impression of the Holy Ghost, the voice. And he gives to each person the impression. The sad thing is that the impression is just that, the impression. If you're not sensitive, he can make the impression and you won't be able to hear it, nor see it, nor even feel it. Because you've gotten calloused. You may know and not follow. It's dangerous to pray and then not do what you have received the knowledge in your praying. And yet God delights to fit his children into his perfect program for their lives so that they'll not have to wait longer than is best for them before the needed light will be given. My friends, you have been created to do something. We must understand what the will of the Lord is in that. Oh, you're a businessman, you're a teacher, you are a shopkeeper, you are working in this place or that place of business, you're a housewife or homemaker, or you're working as a secretary, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Yes, that's true. God has purposed something for every one of you to meet some need, to perform some work, to grow spiritually, and to become, as you should, a renderer of your life, a render the account of your life. Now what we're talking about is how God answers our questions in contrast to the supernatural. We're talking about the common ways. First, the Bible. Secondly, the impression. And then three, it's a voice of higher judgment. It's sort of, the Spirit was within you. The voice of higher judgment comes from up in here. You sort of know what you should do. It's like you find a billfold on the pew when you get up and leave after a while. You have a voice of higher judgment. You know what you're supposed to do. I hope. Find the owner. That's the voice of the higher judgment. But let me quickly say that unfavorable circumstances does not necessarily mean that you're out of God's will. Likewise, we should learn that favorable circumstances are not necessarily a sign of being in God's will. Voice of higher judgment. And then fourth, providential circumstances. Will you remember that God is always in control, and nothing happens to you that does not, first of all, pass through the hand of God? The good things, the bad things, the every in-between things. Nothing has ever happened to any of you, or will this afternoon, or in the tomorrows of your life, that does not, first of all, pass through God's hand. Disasters, unfortunate circumstances, disappointments, heartaches, as well as the beautiful blessings that come our way. Everything that occurs to you must first of all pass through the hand of God to get to you. Now, providential circumstances. God's in control. He's able to prevent a car from starting as easy as he is to prevent you from making a plane connection. And years ago, a treasurer of my church had a son who missed the plane. And this one was just a little nominal Christian. And this one stood at the terminal clutching that ticket and cursing God that he had missed that plane. But when the plane crashed at the end of the runway, he changed his tone toward God. And he realized something. He realized God had his hands on him for a very special purpose. You want guidance in a right direction. God says, I'm going to give you providential circumstances. If I wanted you to be there on time, or if I wanted you to have that object, no circumstance could prevent it from happening, God is saying. Because God is the God of circumstances. And then in that, we learn to look for and to recognize his guiding hand. When you have a decision to make, God will speak to you in the ordinary ways, and he might speak to you in the extraordinary ways. These ordinary ways are ways whereby we reach